Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No one intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 35 of the Puckle TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Yashiro, and of course, you guys know that Puckle stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name our fearless leader Thatch came up with, and we're just rolling with it. We got a few news to go around, and after that, we're going to tackle the topic of Expanded, which has been a topic very popular nowadays, thanks to last regionals. And from there on, we're going to move on with some emails and your favorite part, Pokemon 15 questions. But before all of that that I just mentioned, we are going to introduce our two co-hosts. First, it is said that as a basic rule of war, it is clearly stated that it's illegal to use this guy. It's Gator.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Welcome, man. Welcome. And returning once more, we have a man. Some say that a man that actually found the fountain of youth, but didn't drink from it because he really wasn't feeling that thirsty. And that is our Sigma.
It's good to be back so quick.
thank you. So with that, I wanted to post a question for you guys. What guys have you been doing lately? What have you been running? Gator, in your true judge fashion, tell me, what are you playing?
Well, I went and built a lot of decks Saturday night. I had not really done anything for the new rotation except to build Gardy post-rotation, so I needed to go and feel out what was happening. So I went ahead and put together Gardy, Rainbow Road, Vikavolt Bulu, Volcanion and Friends. Who else did I put together? There was a couple others. And then for Expanded, I just finished putting together Darkrai. And, of course, that joins my Trev and Sableye Garb lists. So that's what I'm kind of playing around with here lately.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're just juggling around decks. How about you, RC? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know what I built. I built two still decks. I built a Metagross post-rotation, which looks really fun. And I built a Solgaleo Rayquaza that looks okay. Fun. It's using the new colorless Rayquaza to reattach energy.
Oh, yeah, the reattach energy ones. Okay, what about you, Sigma? What have you been playing around with?
Oh, I've just been playing around with Rainbow Road again. I'm happy to see it back in the format.
Yeah, we saw a revival of Rainbow Road now, so we got Cernia's coming back, bringing some nightmares. What do you think particularly that brings that deck back?
I'm not really sure, actually. There's less parallel cities going around, because nobody cares. People just play Sudowoodo if they want to restrict the bench. So, that's been helping a lot. And It also hits a lot of things in the format really hard, because you can easily hit for like 240 damage on things like Alolan Ninetales and Galissapod.
Yes, so. You're right. It does, and it... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and you can get a quick setup, too, with a Xerneas on the bench with just a Max Elixir and a double colorless and be hitting relatively quick, so.
Yeah, but it's definitely glad to, good to see it back. So we're gonna go ahead and, as always, move on to the next section, which will be the news. So how's about we go ahead and we drop it? It's the news, and, usually we talk about some cards, and we're trying to reduce that amount, and really I wanted to focus this episode to give you the news of the 2018 season has begun, and we wanted to let you guys know, give you the heads up of when and where and what formats these tournaments on, so I want to dedicate some time in the news section to let you guys know so you can start planning your schedules around the new season that is 2018. First, we're going to go ahead with the North America Regional Championships, which is obviously very important. Gator, do you want to go ahead through those?
Okay, so... They're the internationals, is that, was that what you mean?
No, they're regular regionals.
Just regionals for North America.
Oh, North America. All right. Well, coming up this coming weekend, isn't it? Or the weekend after is Connecticut, which is going to be a standard tournament.
Yep.
So this is going to be our first real shakedown of the new standard meta. There's a lot of different decks that are coming out right now that are getting brewed. You got Ho-Oh Salazzles. You've got some very interesting things coming up on the schedule. Mm-hmm. So, I'm mistaken. It's the last weekend of September, so it should be 9:30. So you guys are hearing it this week. And then after that, we have our very own Florida Regionals over in Daytona Beach, which is going to be an expanded tournament.
Yes.
And then we have, that's going to be on October 7th. And then October 14th, the weekend after that, we'll have our second standard tournament of the season at in British Columbia at the Sheraton Vancouver Airport Hotel. So that's going to be Canada getting a nice little...
Yeah, brothers from the north, the Great White North are getting their own little tournament for the regionals this time around. We also have, for our friends in Europe, like our British gents and our fluffiest Winsome Cuts, we also are going to have the one, at least the one scheduled for this year would be the one in musical theater in Bremen, Germany. It's a standard that is going to go through September 16 to the 17. So
which was last weekend.
I just realized. Well, yes.
See, here's the thing though. So the guys, we're just giving you the stuff for this year. We haven't given you the 2018 stuff.
Yeah.
And the other side of the coin too is there's going to be a lot more special events this season. So this might not be just the only thing you can get championship points at. So
correct. You always stay tuned for those smaller store tournaments that are always going to be available. These are the big hitters, the ones that you might want to prepare a little extra for that is not that local.
The special events are getting you the same payout as the regionals now. So this is your chance to swoop in and get some points if you can get the scoop on people.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I'm excited to see what the season does.
It really did loosen the requirements a little bit, so more people can definitely participate and have a chance to get to Worlds. With Worlds, we have the International Championship. Sigma, when is our next international one coming up?
Well, the only international championship we're going to see this year is in London on November 17th to 19th. So if you're not playing the new games that are coming out that weekend, you can enjoy that.
Yes, because that's everyone's gonna be definitely. Oh, that's Christmas weekend. That's the weekend where most games are gonna be out for Christmas. So should be an exciting one for sure. Moving from those events that you will get you those championship points, or you have to earn them. The way you get them is to the next sets that are coming in, and of course we have two of them. We got Shining Legends is arriving in October 6th. And it's basically what we call a sup set or a mid set, where it's a set not that big. It only contains 87 cards, if I'm not mistaken. And it's usually promo. So the best one that we can describe this is Generations. This is kind of like the generation sets that we had not too long ago. This is basically continuing that. And after that, we do have the next big one, and that is Crimson's Invasions. Of course, that's the English translations of Awakened Heroes and Ultra Dimensional Beasts, which features our Ultra Beasts. This arrives, of course, at November 3, another hot month, so save your wallet for that month. It's going to be horrible. Bad. So with those cards, you're going to go ahead and participate on future events and try to earn yourself some championship points. So let's drop it there with the news and let's move on to Topical Beach, because we have a lot of fun discussion to go and we're going to talk about Expanded. So with that, let's go ahead and grab our piña coladas, our sunbrellas, because we are going to go to the beach to get some topical. And that was really lame. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Topical Beach.
Feel the wind in your face and the sun in your eye, because it is Topical Beach, and this topic that we're going to bring you is none other than Expanded. Expanded is one of the two officially sanctioned formats that the Pokemon TCG uses in every single big event. Well, not every single, and partially some of them. The other one being, of course, Standard. Expanded has a very large amount of sets involved. It's quite larger than Standard for obvious reasons, and that includes in the current format, which has been for the past 3 years, from Black and White all the way up to the current set. And the reason why we are talking about Expanded is because we know that there's a lot of questions about how has the rotation, not the rotation, how the new sets, how X and Y has affected Expanded, and what decks are currently being seen. Now, we saw the last regional that Nightmarch is still around. So let's go ahead and discuss the things that is Expanded, what is it about, and is it really something that is considered to be pretty balanced? Is it? We don't know. So I'm going to post to you guys my next question. Do you guys think that Expanded is in any shape or form broken? Let's start with you, Gator.
No. Expanded, it happens to be my favorite format because there's so many options. There is no guaranteed deck that's going to come out winning, which makes a lot of the pro players pretty cranky.
Yeah.
But I think for, in general, just to see like variety happening, I find it to be very interesting to see the amount of decks. Because it's right now, it's pretty much the only format. Because Standard gets solved pretty easily. It's usually rock, paper, scissors. Whereas Expanded, somebody could come in with a rogue deck and just blow everyone away because the card pool is so deep.
It is. It does add this level of complete randomness that people seem to enjoy. Notice that I say people, not myself. But you, Sigma, what do you think about Expanded? Do you think it's something that is really well balanced and not at all completely crazy?
Yeah, I agree with Gator right now. It's not in a terrible place. It's actually pretty fun. There's a lot of Standard decks popping up with just some better cards placed in, like your VS Seekers and your Ace spec of choice. Yeah. And sometimes you get good cards like Blacksmith coming back, and it's nice to have somewhere to put the cards that you've been playing with. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, as long as you're not playing against Latios on the PTCGO ladder, it's not a bad place.
Well, and yeah. The other thing too is, like, here's the deal. You have so many new cards that people don't bother to look for the interactions with. So, like, you get some really interesting results where you start, like, comparing the reactions. Like, Omnipoke, on his review for Expanded Format coming up, had some sort of combination with, like, Salazzle and the old Ninetales. Like, what is... I don't know what the deck was supposed to be, where he was going with it, but he's like, this is super cool, and I want somebody to do this. Like, there's just so many options there to come up with new and interesting things. But granted, people are still going to play Nightmarch, Darkrai, Trevenant.
Yeah, those decks will always be popping up. There's no way of just killing them. They're zombie decks for some reason. But My real thought about expansion, I do enjoy it, and yes, I do concur with both Gator and R-Sigma that it is pretty well balanced. In fact, it has to be for it to work, and that's why out of all of the formats, right now, Expanded is the only one that actually has a ban list, and we have a few cards that are expanded. We'll get to those in a minute. So it is pretty well at least thought through, and whenever something gets too out of hand, of course, that's where the ban list, the ban habit will drop from the sky and make sure that those cards that are causing a little bit of problem in the format get out, so the rest of the cards can function and the game can move on as it is. The reason Expanded is not necessarily my favorite one is because of all the reasons that you guys like it. The reason that is there's so many cards, there's so many more options to play. One of the aspects, not just of Pokemon TCG, this is really me in general in playing card games, is that the reason I like Standard is the fact that it is a very, very shallow pool of opportunities. So less randomness in a Standard. However, it gives you the opportunity to play the strategic game of the meta and be able to read what is being working, and you'll be able to predict what you might encounter in tournaments. That for me is as much as part of the game that it is building decks. Or actually playing the game is me figuring out what would work. And Expanded makes it a little bit, if not a lot harder, to be able to identify that. Because there's just so many options. And like what Gator said, one of the fun things, because it is fun, about Expanded is the fact that this random rogue deck will appear out of nowhere and completely destroy everyone just because no one was prepared. And that's definitely is exciting and well needed. It's just not my cup of tea. I prefer to have games that I can definitely wrap my hand around and say, okay, what would I be able to get? What would I be facing? What can I add or take out of my deck to make it work against these big decks that are working around? All that beautiful stuff from the TCG is definitely something that I enjoy. Regardless, and that being said, we love Expanded, and we are definitely glad. At one point in this podcast, I did say that I was kind of annoyed that Expanded was part of the regionals. I take that back. And I take that back most recently because of the last rotations where we had some amazing games with some great decks, including, even though Night March was absolutely everywhere there, we did see some amazing Darkrai decks coming out in combination with new cards. So it's definitely something that it's needed in the game overall, and I'm just glad. And we all have our favorite stuff, and the guys already covered most of theirs, right? The randomness, the more opportunities. But I want to ask you guys, what has been your favorite deck, Expanded, that you really want to hammer down and play? Sigma, let's start with you.
For the longest time, it was Volcanion EX. Mm-hmm. It was a very consistent deck with all the Shamans and all the... Lele's were only recently added, but yeah. You get your Shamans, and then you use your Blacksmiths and hit real hard with your Volcanions. And you can set up really quick, too. So that's a fun time. And before that, it was Eels.
Eels being the one, explain a bit.
Eels is using Electric
and Raikou.
Electric and Raikou. Or if you're cheeky, you can get a Mewtwo EX in there with that.
You can get cheeky with that, yes.
Yeah, but Electric from, I think it's Noble Victories, but it's from one of the black and white sets that lets you put a lightning energy from your discard onto one of your benched Pokemon, which we see that effect
in Magneton right now. Magnezone right now has that too.
Bronzong was the one that used to do it.
Yes, Bronzong. Yes, you're right. Okay. And what about you, Gator?
You know my favorite deck.
Oh, I do. I do.
Sableye Garb by
My god. Explain to our audience the nightmare that is this deck.
Okay, so Sableye Garb is really fun if you really want to sit across from your opponent and just have a nice conversation for about 50 minutes, because they're going to be saying pass while you do stuff. So they're either going to hate you, or they're just going to like accept their fate and be really friendly. Basically, the way it works is...
or laugh the whole game like I did when I played against it. I just laughed.
You can do. Like,
It took a little bit of restraint for that laughter not to turn into tears. Continue.
So basically, the way the deck works for those unfamiliar is a Sableye has an ability called Junk Hunt, which used to be an item card way back in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Anyway, for one darkness energy, Sableye is able to pull two item cards out of the discard pile. You combine this with Puzzle of Time, and that means you're able to pull any two cards you want out of your discard pile at a given time. So the deck doesn't really care about going through your deck really fast because you're able to have more access to your resources. And then it uses a variety of denial, hammers, different supporters like Team Flare Grunt and Delinquent, things like Xerosic to target special energies if you're under item lock, Lysanders to pull up big heavy things. And basically you deny your opponent their energy and then mill their deck. And you also deny them their abilities with Garbodor.
Yep.
So the basic idea is it's a control deck. It's not just about the milling. It's about getting your opponent to a zero-card hand and controlling their top deck with Trick Shovels and then milling them until they're done.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Not in a bad way. Well, yes, if you're playing against it, it's in a bad way. But it's definitely is a very creative deck, for sure. My favorite deck, it's definitely one that is Yveltal and Mega Manectric. I had a special place in my heart for this deck because this is the deck I immediately constructed, when I came back. I came back to the Pokemon, trading card games after like a 3-year hiatus, and I came back to the X and Y release and the Yveltal had come out, and, at this point, I think it's, we see Mega Manectric all the way in Primal Crash, if I'm not mistaken. For those who don't know, Mega Manectric has one attack, costs two energies, and basically states it does 110 damage, but you can place any two energies from your discard pile onto your Pokemon in your bench, or any Pokemon. That combined with Battle Compressors allowing me to find those energies from my deck and put them on the discard pile would allow Mega Manectric to do a consistent amount of good damage while at the same time powering up Yveltal for the kill. Very fun deck. It's what I used to, for me, Mega Manectric was one of those forgettable Pokemons that I never thought of. And after that deck, I built that deck, it became one of my favorites. So definitely has a very special place in my heart. And I still play it and expand it if I can. It has a few new tricks to add in that deck, so it's definitely, definitely fun. Now, when we play expanded, like I already mentioned my problems with, well, the randomness to us exploring, it's what turns me off to expanded. But I want to hear what are you guys, are your conflicts with expanded. When you play expanded, what are the things that you fear the most or you're worried about when you play expanded? That be either thinking game-wise, right, the randomness, right? You don't know what to expect, to all the way to, oh, there's more cards you need to buy. So, Gator, let's start with you. What's your deal with Expanded?
I got into Expanded last year before we ended up getting all this craziness with the cross of the A-Specs.
Yeah.
So, it's not been that big of a deal for me this year. The only thing I needed to get into Expanded for this season was some Necrozmas for my Trev deck and some Darkrai GXs for my Darkrai deck. Like, it was pretty straightforward for me. My best advice here is to just look at some of the top results and see what you can't modify that you already have. Your biggest hurdle is going to be the A specs because those shot up in price because everybody's trying to jump in. And the same with like Dark Patches and things. So if you're wanting to play Dark a lot, Dark Patches are about $15 a piece. So good luck to you.
Yeah, it's VS Seeker price last year. It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. What about you, Sigma? What are things either from card prices all the way to just the strategy around it? What's the things that irk you about the expanded?
Well, I'll be curious to see where they find ways to increase availability of those A-Specs. Because right now they're not putting those super rare items in like their pre-composed decks that are feature a bunch of cards from like the black and white era.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they find a place to make those. They're going more the promo route with those right now, which I don't think is the right way. But also, turn one item lock decks.
Yes.
whether that be through Getsis, which is a risk, or Trevenant.
Trevenant, yep. Those really do, for those of you at home that are listening, Trevenant has a Pokemon ability that blocks tool cards. And you're able, it's completely possible for you to be able to get a Trevenant on turn one with the thanks of Wally, for example, and completely lock out your opponent from using item cards at all throughout the whole game. Pretty ridiculous. That's definitely one of the few things that annoy me. Some of those old cards, you're just glad to see them die. One for me was Hypnotoxic Laser. Hypnotoxic Laser is a nightmare of a card when you play against it. And basically, it's a tool, not a tool, sorry, an item card that when you use it, your opponent is automatically asleep and poisoned. This is an item card. It's just a nightmare to deal with when your opponent, you can add basically those two status afflictions to any of the Pokemon that you're using to attack, increasing their damage output at the same time putting a hamper in your turn, whether or not you end up waking up or not. So that card always makes me unhappy every time I see it. When it was finally rotated out, I was really happy. And every time I go back to expand it, it's just, it's kind of hurt. It hurts. Now, Hypnotoxic Laser might be a card that is difficult to fight against, but it's not completely unbalanced. No. It's a completely balanced card. But there are a few, three in particular at the moment, that are not so much. And were actually one of them didn't even touch Expanded. As soon as rotation happened, it was kicked out. It went to the no entry list, no fly zone, and it got cut out, and that is Forest of Giant Plants. Next to that, we also have Lysander's Trump card, which is the infamous card that we all know why it's got banned. And of course, Expanded also includes a ban in Archeops. I wish I had Scrawn here to talk about Archeops a little bit. But my question to you guys is this. Do you agree with the banning of these cards? Do you think that, I remember that when Forest of Giant Plants was announced that it was going to be banned, there was a slight discussion at our TCG chat room and shameless plug,
hey, go to facebook.com. I called it before it got banned. I said it was going to get banned.
Oh, yeah. I think
Go ahead.
A number of people suspected that it had the potential to be banned because it is kind of unfair.
Why? Can you guys give me an example as to why this is banned?
Let's see. We've got reasons like Decidueye, Excelgore is annoying. Trevenant might have started using it. I don't really know.
Well, Vileplume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing, though, right? I think it was banned not so much of what it could do, but what it limited the designers to do. When you have a card like that, you have to consider every card that comes out afterwards. If they accidentally made something broken for grass that was stage three and they could get it up in one turn because of forest, like, it's just fundamentally going to shift the way they have to design cards. So I think as from more of a design perspective, it was better for it to go. Just like with Archeops, there is some discussion. So if you're curious why certain cards got banned, the exact reasoning, they have it listed on the Pokemon website when they announced bans. And one of the things they talked about in banning Archeops was how they could have banned Archies or Maxies instead.
Yeah.
It was Maxies that they were going to ban. So there's all kinds of potential for the way they design these cards, and it's a very specific process to it. So I'm pretty sure, like, it's a net positive to have Forest banned, even though some people would like other ways to go. And I think that's because they've invested in their Decidueyes. Yeah.
yes, one of the big reasons that Giants are playing Forest of Giant Plants got banned. It's for another card that used to be banned but got unbanned thanks to the banning of Forest of Giant Plants, and that is the Shiftry from Next Destinies. Shiftry had a very, very interesting ability. Now, we had both the basic and the stage one Pokemon from the Shiftry line. They were both grass, so they could take advantage of Forest of Giant Plants and evolve all the way up to Shiftry in turn one. And shift three had this particular Pokemon ability, Giant Fan. When you play this Pokemon from your hand to evolve one of your Pokemon, you may flip a coin. If heads, choose one of your opponent's Pokemon. Your opponent shuffles that Pokemon and all cards attached to it into his or her hand. If you're able to go first and your opponent puts one basic Pokemon in his active, no bench, and you are able to evolve thanks to Forest of Giant Plants to evolve your Shifter all the way in turn one, you could potentially, well, even attacking, make your opponent lose the game. And that was pretty, pretty broken. That was definitely one of the heavy weights as to why it just couldn't happen. There's so many good grass Pokemon out there that could give such an advantage in turn one before your opponent even has a chance to draw a card. So, yeah, I have to agree with that banning of Forest of Giant Plants. It really did need to go. Arceus, for those who don't know, I know you heard Gator talking about it. That's the one that has an ability that basically does not allow damage? Evolve?
You can't evolve a Pokemon from your hand.
Yeah, correct. So you are not able to evolve Pokemon completely if your deck is full of evolutions. You couldn't get those evolutions down. And thanks to both, everything Gator said, Archie's Ace in a Hole and Maxi's Hidden Ball Trick, you could get Arceus in turn one if you were lucky enough to pull the cards, which would now, again, completely already set the game who will win from the first turn. So they were pretty, pretty, pretty crazy cards. So we have a few banned cards, and we just definitely have to agree with them. Now, we already talked about which ones are our favorite decks and why we're excited that Expanded is taking such a huge turn nowadays with the new Sun and Moon cards and really taking a life of its own with just these. You can see cards that they're completely new. They just arrived in the newest set, and when you read it, like Marshadow GX, your first thought is, oh my god, this is going to kill in Expanded. Marshadow, of course, being a great support for Nightmarch. Now, with 2018 coming up ahead, let's give our viewers some tips. Gator, what do you recommend for Expanded coming this next year?
Play Nightmarch, Darkrai, or Trev. honestly, though, like, pick a pet deck and stick with it. Learn that deck really well. And learn your matchups, because one of the things about Expanded is since there is a broader card pool, your matchups are going to count more. And we all like to say in Pokemon, you have your auto losses. Well, you have to learn how to navigate and make the call. So I would pick at least one deck, know it, and then pick a second deck that you're really good with so you can make meta calls if you are going into a big tournament. Because, you know, nobody expected Nightmarch to do well, but the meta was wide open for it because it has a good matchup with Darkrai. Yeah. So that might mean that at Daytona, we see a lot more Trev coming out because Trev counters Nightmarch. So it really is just going to be dependent on what people are playing. And if you can avoid your bad matchups, then a lot of the times you end up golden. So it's one of those things where it's a lot more knowing the meta to do well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would have to disagree a little bit more than standard, knowing the meta more than standard. More about knowing your
standard,
particular deck.
There's usually like four decks that you need to know. Whereas in Expanded, if you don't know how your matchup plays out with things, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. You could play 9 different games in 9 rounds. Yeah. Or 9 different decks in 9 rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, odds are like 3 of them are going to be the one deck and 2 of them are going to be another, and then you'll find some other decks out there. But
yeah.
It is important to know the popular decks, at least, and try to know some of the other things that are on this fringe, because knowing is part of what you need to do to play.
I could probably point at 20 different decks right now that could potentially top the tournament and Expanded.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, easily. Well, that's exactly my point, yes. But you can't prepare for all those 20. What you most can do is...
No, but I'm not saying test against all your matchups. I'm saying know your matchups. You can... Yeah. But there's no way you're going to be able to... you shouldn't be putting reps against the 20 different decks. You should be putting your reps in against Darkrai. You should be putting reps in against Nightmarch and Trev. You should be putting your reps in against Toad. and things like that. And
then, work arounds to where you find yourself in situations where you didn't expect yourself to be.
Yes. Look up, like, talk to people. That's one of the other things too. It's very important to talk to people, learn what they're playing, just starting to get an idea for it. If you've never played Expanded before, it can be overwhelming because of the amount of cards, but it is easy to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can easily, I believe Fort Wayne had plenty of decks that were like maybe 60% standard cards.
Yeah, yeah, completely, like easily. Almost all, yes. Most of the decks, we saw Gallicipod twice.
Yeah, you throw in your VS Seekers, you throw in your Shamans, and you're probably good. Yeah. And a lot of different decks, and your Ace back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we talked about, you know, Gator talks about those decks, but in the last, you know, we had new decks like Gallicipod and Gardevoir that are just screening up. It's just, to me at least, at the very least, to me it's harder to determine what are you going to find in Expanded.
Well, I think those were going to be like one-trick ponies because people weren't expecting them. It's, again, if you don't know what to expect, you don't know how to play against it, then you're going to have a bad time. People, if you have to learn on the fly how to beat a deck, then odds are they have an advantage and they're going to win.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So yeah, guys, that's basically it for Expanded. This year will bring a lot of interesting match in our championships, and I can't wait to see all the streams, all of them. I want them all. With that, we are going to end Topical Beach and move on to our deck of the episode right after a word from our sponsors. So. We'll be right back.
Beat up Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. We got Pidgeys, Pidgeotos, Pidgeots, and all your basic flying normal type Pokemon. Need a Farfetch'd? Got it. Need a Doduo? Got it. Need a Staravia? Got it. Need a P-Dub? Got it. Need an average flying type Route 1 exclusive Pokemon? We got it. One more time. That's Peter Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. One final time. That's Peter Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. Go check us out today and tell them Puckle TCG Cast sent you for a 20% discount. Wowee! A 20% discount? No, make that a 25% discount. Do I have to make a 30? There it is. 30% discount. And so for that 30% discount, Peter Pidgeon's Pidgeot Emporium. If we don't have it, it is an average.
It is the deck of the episode.
It is time to check what is the deck of the episode. And we were planning to give you a little bit more, something more old school. But in reality, let's keep things a little fresh. And let's go and speak and discuss Samshin's deck in the last regional. And that is Turtonator Volcanion. Pure Fire, it's really nice to see Fire back after quite some time of it being not that much played. Volcanion surely was the beginning of the rise of Fire, and now it's just got a lot of support. Let's go through this deck a little bit. Sigma, what Pokemons can we encounter in this deck?
Okay, so we have 3 Turtonator GXs, 3 Volcanion EXs, a couple Volcanions, a Ho-Oh GX, 2 Shamans, and a Tapu Lele.
The deck is pretty self-explaining, really. So we got our main attackers in the form of Turtonator GX. Turtonator GX just does a lot of damage. Its second attack, which is the one we want to focus on, for 2 fire and 1 colorless, it does 160 damage by discarding 2 fire energies from it. That's, with a choice band, for example, that's doing a nice 190, able to knock out a Lapras if need be. Which is kind of convenient since it's really weak to water. Now, that doesn't end there because Volcanion EX, with its ability, is there to support. Gator, how does the rest of the cards here synergize?
Okay, so... And the other thing too, guys, if you want this whole deck list, you don't have to like frantically pull over and write this down. You can find this on Pokemon.com. Just look up the 2018 Championship Series results. And his is the second deck because he took second to Pramawat with his Nightmarsh deck. So basically the way this deck works is you're looking to get your Volcanions on the bench. And once your Volcanions are on the bench, you can power up your basic fire attackers with steam ups. Ho-Oh is great as like your one of tech because Ho-Oh is coincidentally not weak to water like the rest of the cards in this deck. So that gives it a big advantage right now, especially with not a lot of things playing Lightning. The only thing you really have to dodge is Dulptic. But if you're playing Nightmarsh, you don't even need to commit the Ho-Oh. You can just commit with the baby Volcanion and start wrecking. The Shamans are there to draw through your deck so you can get your good start turn 1. Because with the supporters in this deck, including Kiawei and Blacksmith, you can potentially get a Volcanion EX set up turn one ready to go, or turn two if you're attacking, and attacking with a Volcanion EX. This deck is that powerful. So hitting 130, even more with steam ups on turn two is nutso. Yeah. So that's where the cards end up coming into play here.
With that, the rest of the trainer cards, at least the ones that are worth knowledge, taking some knowledge, is the new cards added in the form of Acerola and Kiawei, of course, being crucial for a fire deck, even though this one just carries one. Other than that,
Call it crucial. I think it's a really good option for turn one setup with Lele, especially if you're starting something like Ho-Oh, where you want those four fire energy. But honestly, Blacksmith is the card, is my go-to supporter for this deck.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so let's get into the,
I wouldn't call it Kiawei. I think Kiawei's cute more than anything.
Cute.
Because it's essentially a dead card after turn one.
Yeah.
You don't want to give up your turn to not attack.
Yeah. Okay, so any last comments here on this deck, Sigma?
Oh, I actually watched it in the finals, and it was a really sad game when you played three Karens and still lost to that Night March in that game.
Yeah, that sounds painful.
That was sad.
God, yes.
I really do like this style of, or playing this style of deck in Expanded, so I can definitely recommend picking it up and trying it out.
Yeah, it's really cool seeing big monsters all in one place, and this deck definitely gives you big monsters.
I think it's interesting he only played one Guzma as well. That was a really strange play on from what I understand, because then you're not attacking with Volcanion, but with four versus seekers, I guess that.
Well, the goal is Turtonator usually, I believe. So
yeah, well, because Turtonator hits a lot of good numbers.
Yeah,
yeah, especially with the Volcanion EX around and the Muscle Band, and
it's so
you
good.
Can just continually Blacksmith the Turtonator so it can attack again. Yeah. So
and with.
GX attack. Just powers up. Well, I said Turtonator can just use its GX attack and power up a Volcanion in itself again.
Exactly, yes. So Turtonator's GX attack just costs one fire energy and brings back fire. Five energies from your discard pile. You can attach them to any of your Pokemon as needed. Extremely good tech GX attack. That is definitely something that, since we have a deck where it's based on discarding energies, having that GX attack that definitely can bring them back all at once is really, really great. Now, with that, we're going to end our deck of the episode. Congratulations to Sam Jan for running up second place with this great deck. And we're going to move on to our almost last section, and that is Trainer's Mail. We'll be right back.
It's Trainer's Mail.
We are back at Trainer's Mail, and we're going to hear where we read our listeners' emails. Let's go ahead with the first one. Gator, take it away.
And it's from Nathan. Seeing as how Lele costs a small fortune, I've been playing around with alternatives. I've found that as long as you're only playing in Sycamore, Random Receiver gives you great consistency at a cost of having access to other valuable supporters. Do you see this sort of spread working in any of the meta decks? It's a little rough not having access to Guzma when I want it, but it is significantly cheaper.
Wow, that's a tough question. Sigma, what would you say?
They're having access to the other supporters is important. Like, it would be hard to play certain decks without your access to Kukuis and Guzmas. Guzmas are really good to have. Ace Rollers are nice to have. You really do need other supporters in your deck.
But is Random Receiver a good substitute to Lele?
Not if you're playing those other supporters, which you probably should be.
And not if Garbodor's still running around.
Also true.
You're giving your opponent
more ammunition.
Yeah. And it means more of your deck is item cards that will be in your discard.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea if for running consistency. But honestly, if that was me, I would not run those, and I would run something like an extra Lily. Just something that's more geared towards it. There is no functional replacement for Lele. Lele is what it is. You can exist without it, but there's a reason that everyone dropped Shaymin in a heartbeat as soon as Lele was available. Mm-hmm.
Just pure consistency.
It helps you be consistent, and being not having versus seekers and having access to the tools you need to finish off the game, it can be the difference between a win and a loss. If you're looking for a deck that doesn't play Lele and you're trying to save money, Greninja is still a viable option.
Yes.
You can still
play Greninja. I'm glad Greninja. I wasn't the one to say it this time around.
Well, and there's been a couple other decks that aren't playing a ton of Lele. I hate to break this to you, my dudes, but like, things are expensive if they're really good.
Yeah.
And if all you're doing is just showing up at your locals and having a good time, there's no problem building your deck around not having a Lele. But if you are trying to be competitive, there's no functional replacement. Yep. So as long as the deck's working for you and you're having a good time, go for it.
Yep, you're going to have to definitely come up with the money if you plan to reach high in those championship points. Lele is part of our format, whether we like it or not. So it's here to stay.
If y'all would have listened to Gator and bought him at $35, I wouldn't have this problem. That's all I'm saying.
Very true. Very true. Thank you so much, Nathan, for sending you your emails. Sigma, go ahead and grab Dr. McStuffles.
Okay, here's the email from Doc McStuffles. Jushiro and dudes, Doc McStuffles back here checking in for the week and to let you know about all the TCG shenanigans I whipped up. Long story short, I blame y'all for my severe drop in production
work.
After you crushed my hopes and dreams of a Vileplume deck, I thought all was lost. But Grim X-Core and some of the other guys on the Discord, quick throw a shameless plug here.
Oh, yes. Discord, guys, go to our description box here and join us there. All the wonderful forums will be found there. The chats, you can find if you want to talk TCG. There's always going to be someone there willing to talk.
Suggested a Kingdra deck. My deck definitely isn't all the way there yet. I'm still missing some major trainers and some other supporting mon. Nonetheless, I am surprisingly crushing it.
Oh.
Granted, I'm not exactly facing stiff competition, but it still only took a day to get that EX Fighting Grass Pony reward. Anyways, I snuck a few Burning Shadows packs in this week and managed to pull a full art Necrozma GX.
Nice. Anyone want?
Just Photoshop me a good stuffle wearing a Doc McStuffin's lab coat and we'll call it even. Well, still no good sign off, Doc McStuffles. P.S. What do y'all think of a Honchkrow deck? I'd love to build around him next.
I don't remember what Honchkrow did.
Honchkrow is the one that does spread damage. So if your opponent has damage spread around, it does it based on the amount of damage counters that are on your other. You like move them around.
Okay, yeah.
Honestly, you could probably pull something off with Necrozma and Honchkrow and the baby Tapu Koko. There's been like some deck lists floating around here and there that use those guys based off that spread damage, then using Honchkrow to clean up. It's a little tricky to pull it off, but
hey, so it's Greninja.
Try it. Yeah, try it and show us. Like, let us see.
Yep. With that as well, sorry to crush your dreams. It's just that new Vileplume, man. It's just not the old Vileplume, unfortunately. So we don't see that card going anywhere anytime soon. Thank you so much for the offer on that Necrozma. Guys, if you are going to Photoshop, send it over to Discord and see if our boy here, Dr. McStuffles, likes your art. Now, moving on to Mikey from Pokemon Crossroads. He writes, "Hello, I would like to address this slander that is going around for Metal Pokemon. Clearly, nobody knows anything about the great type and what it can do." Uh-oh, watch out, strap yourself in. This is one of Mikey's I Love Metal emails. A few episodes ago, Jishiro said that Metacross has a hard time against Scarbodor Drampa because it uses too many items. That is certainly not the case. I'm not surprised it's not. Metacross doesn't lose that many items at all. You may use rare candy in Ultra Ball, but most of your Pokemon search will be via Alolan Vulpix. At the time, via Seeker was being used mostly, but mostly you may find yourself with 4 items in the discard pile. The only time you may end up with a lot of items in the discard pile is if you are forced to use Professor Sycamore and discards tons of items. Now, that isn't fun. The matchup against Garbodor Drampa is pretty good for Metacross. There's not many items in your discard, so Metagross can't bring down the trash. Drampa GX can't knock out Metagross GX, and you can heal off the damage with Max Potion. Drampa Choice Band on Metagross GX knocks out Drampa GX, though the ability locking Garbatoxin Garbodor will kill cut Metagross, which was, I believe, my point. One of my points with Garbatoxin will kill Metagross. Turning off Geotech makes it harder for Metagross. You will need to do the same well-timed field blowers to knock out to win that matchup. Knock out those tools so you can win that matchup. I'm guessing you guys will be looking at Crimson Invasions this episode. So I am... Well, not yet. It's not been really... So I'm going to give my thoughts on a favorite card of mine from the set, Gartana GX. This card can do nice damage if you attach a double colorless energy and metal energy on it. Hit and then... If too much damage, get on it, run away. Do not understand that sentence. Use Max Elixir and then have you have another ready to go on your bench. May not be top tier, but it's worth experimenting. Everything's worth experimenting. That's 100%. Regardless, it's great too. Thanks, Mikey. Mikey, I would like to defend myself. True. Now, like you said, when I said this about Metagross, this particular matchup was because, number one, yes, you specified, VS Seeker was still in the meta. We were very heavy on those item cards. And number two, Garbatoxin is an issue. If Garbatoxin is down, he was not able to use Geotech, which doesn't allow him to recuperate those energies from the discard pile. Field Blower does help the case, but you certainly have a certain amount of Field Blowers to deal with. And as long as you can keep putting tools in Garbatoxin, he can keep on adding them. Now, that being said, doesn't say you're wrong at all. My experience with Garbatoxin against Metacross has always been in favor of Garbatoxin, but that might be just bad players on the net. What do you guys think? I'm curious to see, Gator, your opinion.
Mikey, I've sat with you at a table and I've dined with you. We're acquainted. You're wrong. Garbatoxin is whooping up on Metagross. Yes, it's possible to pull out the win, but what we're not talking about that it's beatable. We're talking about percentages here. And the vast majority of the time, if the Drampa Gar player knew what they were doing, they would definitely be able to handle Metagross no problem. Yeah. So I don't see the strong argument here in your favor on this one, buddy. Also, metal Pokemon, I like them, I appreciate them, but they just haven't been putting up the results that make them necessary to say that they are good. We judge decks here a lot of the time based on the results they can get. Theory's great, but if it can't perform when it's time to perform, then it's not much of a deck. 'Cause in theory, a lot of decks are great. So... Yep. I hold out hope for metal because I too enjoy metal. I like a little Bronzong action in my life. I built two metal decks at the beginning of the episode. I told you guys.
Yep.
But I don't know. I reserve judgment. Metagross surprised everyone when Shemansky played it, but even then, that wasn't a pilot to first. So.
Yeah, and it definitely says something about the deck when the number one deck that is killing it right now is Gardevoir GX, which is weak against steel, yet we don't see metal that much.
Well, there. When Volcanion exists and it's good, like, it's just not going to see the top tables. You're going to run into Volcanion. It's a cheap deck that people like to play.
And it easily just kind of
runs you over.
Yeah.
Yep. So thank you, Mikey, as always. I love your emails. Keep sending them. As like we always say, hey, we all make mistakes. So if you guys think that mostly me says anything that you might not, you might disagree with, please do like Mikey did. Send me your emails and tell me how wrong I am. Because honestly, that's the way we all can learn for sure. Now, thank you all for sending your emails. Now we're going to move on to everyone's favorite part, the end of the episode, which is, who's that Pokemon? Pokemon 15 questions. We'll be right back.
Who's that Pokemon?
It is that time. Who's that Pokemon? Pokemon 15 questions starts now. We have both our co-hosts here ready to see if they can guess the Pokemon. You guys know the rule. No Pokedexes, no questions about generations, no numbers, and nothing that is not inside the game itself. Lower your browsers. Absolutely no outside help. The turn starts with Gator, then Sigma, and goes back to Gator once more. So we have our Pokemon. We have our co-host. Let's go ahead and Gator, who's that Pokemon?
Is this Pokemon a dual type?
Yes. Sigma?
Is this Pokemon a basic Pokemon?
No. Go for Gator.
Okay, so it's not a basic. Is this Pokemon a part of a stage one line?
Yes.
Okay.
Go for Sigma.
So it's a stage one Pokemon then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have to be the case, because if it's not a basic, and he'll, the babies don't count as basics. Babies count as babies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does this Pokemon have any immunities based on typing?
Yes.
Okay. Let's
go for Gator.
Is this Pokemon part normal type?
No. Go for Sigma.
Okay. Is this Pokemon... Does the Pokemon this evolves from mono... Yeah, is this Pokemon that it evolves from only have a single type?
No.
Okay, so they're both dual types.
Okay. Can this Pokemon be found in the Alola region?
The answer to that question would be... No.
Okay. That gets rid of, like, almost 400 things.
This is helpful.
Right. Okay. Is this Pokemon weak to... Is this Pokemon weak to fighting?
Yes. Go for Gator.
Okay, it's weak to fighting, but it's not a normal type. But it has an immunity.
Dark is immune to something. Steel is immune to something.
Is Dark immune to something? What's Dark immune to?
Psychic.
Psychic? Ooh, okay.
That said, it could be a different type. It could be like an ice type that is also immune to something randomly, but who knows? We know it's weak to Dark, so.
Alright, can this Pokemon be found in the Kanto region?
Wait. Sorry, what did you just say, Sigma?
We know it's weak to fighting. My bad.
There we go. Okay, go get her.
Can this Pokemon be found in the Kanto region?
No.
Okay.
Go for Sigma. This is question number 10. 5 questions to go.
Okay. So it's... weak to fight... Let's see. Unova's not a great region to ask about, but...
Well, I was just thinking there's a lot of dual types in it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but if it's weak to fighting, that means it's probably... If it's either a dark or steel type, then it's Magnemite. Ooh. Well, it can't even be Magnemite in Kanto. It would have been like Houndoom
Yeah, true. Never mind. Bad question.
No, has a lot of random dark quest, dark Pokemon, I think. I think it probably is from.
Gonna need the question.
Yeah, from you, can this Pokemon be found in Unova?
Yes. Go for Gator.
So it could be like some, or it could be something like Scrafty.
Right. Scrafty has an immunity.
Scrafty is immune to the psychic. But it could also be like a steel. Is there a dual type steel Pokemon there? Stage 2 or stage 1?
Excadrill?
Yes.
Mandibuzz is also
not weak to fighting.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah, flying resists. So.
What about Bisharp? Was that weak to fighting? Dark
yes,
Steel?
Yes, it is. It's super weak to fighting.
But does it have an immunity? Ooh,
that's it has two immunities.
That's true. All right, do you want to just ask? We can just ask if it's a dark type and just get that cleared up right now.
Yeah.
Is one of this Pokemon's type dark?
Yes. Go for Sigma. Question number 12.
Okay. Let's see. So we're looking at probably Bisharp or Scrafty. We could also be looking... What other stage 1 dark types are there? Or stage 1 double type dark types? Because Zoroark isn't a dual type.
No.
I don't think it can be Drillbird, or it can't. Well, we just found out it's a dark type, so that doesn't matter. We could check if Ash had the Pokemon.
Did he have a good number of these?
Oh God!
I think he had a Scraggy. I believe he had a Scraggy, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
So Bisharp and Scrafty are the only ones I could think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stage 1 dark types aren't too... Or stage 1 double type, dual type dark types aren't.
Do you want to ask the... Wait, is Scrafty weak to fighting?
It is. Fighting doesn't resist fighting.
Okay. We can ask if it's steel, is the second typing.
We can ask if it has two immunities. But I think that only gets steel as the second typing. So,
wait, what about Weavile?
Yeah, Weavile's in. Okay, Weavile.
It's Dark Ice.
And it is in.
But that wouldn't. That would be weak to fighting.
Yeah, and you can find it in Unova as well. So it could be one of those three. We could ask if it's times 4 weak to fighting.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And that'll... Okay, yeah. Is it times 4 weak to fighting?
No.
Okay, so that...
That's Scrafty, then.
Unless there's something else we can't think of, but...
Question number 14.
Is it... Should we ask if it's also a fighting type before we... Or, yeah, do we lose if we guess the wrong thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so we should probably ask if it's also a fighting type so we can...
Pinpoint? What about stuff like Skunk Tape? Or skunk tank?
Poison resists fighting.
Okay.
So
that would knock out Drapion too. Yep. What about Crawdaunt? Was that in Unova?
It might be. I can't remember if it is or not. That's why I say we should ask if it's also... we should ask if it's also water?
No, Sharpedo. We should ask if it's fighting, because...
But Sharpedo also counts, then.
Ooh.
But I guess that singles it out either way, so...
Alright. Yeah, is it weak, or is it also a water type?
No.
Okay, so then I think the only thing we can guess is Scrafty, then.
Yeah, that's your guess, then.
Yeah.
Make it official!
Is it Scrafty?
It is Scrafty! Yay. Congratulations, guys. That was a good one. All 15 questions, although you already had the idea by, like, number 10. You just need to narrow it down. But that was an excellent game for sure. What was that, Sigma?
I said, yeah, we had to bounce it around a lot, though.
Definitely. Well, that brings the show to an end. Unfortunately, we have to call it a night. But if you like what you hear and you want to be even more part of the community, please, please, please just go ahead and join us in the community. We go to our Twitter at Puckle Podcast, our Facebook at facebook.com/Puckle. Who says forward slash? God, I'm old. / Puckle Podcast. Go to our group in podcast and Facebook, which will be / a Puckle TCG for our specifically TCG group. We go to our Reddit at r Puckle, Tumblr
/ Puckle
/r/ Tumblr at pucklepodcast.tumblr.com, and make sure you review us in iTunes. Every single time you review us, it helps boost the show and more people can see it and be able to hear it. And of course, if you're able, if it doesn't come to you eating or not, if you have the extra income, please go ahead and donate to us at become a patron, patreon.com. And every single cent that you guys pour into Puckle goes straight back to you, the community. That's how we buy all our equipment. That's how we make all the events happen. And that is how we just improve upon the community overall. And with that, again, our Discord, we can't just get tired of saying the Discord. Please, please, please join us there. All things Puckle, all things Pokemon, 24 hours a day. You're going to find people to talk to there and coordinate for trades, coordinate for battling, everything from PTCGO to all the Pokemon versions. So please join us at Discord. Of course, the link is in the description box. With that, Gator, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Of course, it was my pleasure as well.
And Sigma, welcome aboard. And for those of you listening at home, you can already tell for the sweet, sweet music of that guitar. That is that time. That time is coming. Good night.
Side.